Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Good afternoon, Trish. I said I join you from the garden today as opposed to taking for the indoors, but I think it might rain yet, so I might be heading yet for the indoors.
Yeah, it's threatening rain, but then they're threatening some sunny spells this afternoon as well. I was just looking at the weather forecast. Saturday is going to be a scorcher. They're saying 20 degrees and nice sunshine all day. So there you go.
Mallow Show. It's always good weather for Mallow Show, isn't it?
I said the same thing. They can get a bit of rain today. It'll just help all the plants and then the sun will shine. Okay, let's get straight into questions. Lots and lots of questions coming into you. Sean in Clonakilty says, could you ask Peter, is there likely to be potato blight in this current spell of weather?
It's a bit early, I would think, for it. But I mean, obviously, I can't predict the future. But I would say it's a bit early for potato blight now. But it has been very damp. But then it hasn't been that warm. So my gut would say no, not right at the moment. But unfortunately, who knows?
Hi, Peter. Any tips on getting rid of three-cornered leeks from the garden? We've always had them there. And I actually think they're a lovely plant. But I've only recently realised that they're non-native, very invasive and bad for local biodiversity. They're taking over the garden this year.
Yeah, they are quite attractive, and the same with the wild garlic, which isn't, of course, as much of a problem. But the three-cornered leek is a bit of a bully. And any of these, I don't mind it being non-native. I don't mind plants being non-native because many of the plants that we enjoy so much in Ireland are non-native. But I do, obviously, I mind it being invasive. I don't, unfortunately, have a magic wand as to its control. The only thing you can do, really, is get out there with a shovel and or even a decent hand trowel and just try. You know what? It's try to stay on top of it as opposed to trying to eradicate it. But the only thing is it comes out relatively easily. It's just there's a lot of work in it because there's probably quite a lot of it there. But no, I don't have any magic wand. In fact, one thing I might suggest, just a bed I in my own garden that I did recently. Now, we didn't have three-cornered leek in it, but I did have that Japanese anemone. You know, the autumn anemone, which, you know, lots of people grow as a plant because it's a beautiful flower, but it does take over. It's just as vigorous. Now, and as you know, I won't use weed killers or chemicals on it. And that is more difficult to eradicate by digging. So what I did, I put a biodegradable weed block over it. So I don't use this black plastic weed block because I just don't like it. It's very bad for the soil. But you can get a biodegradable one. You can even use cardboard or wet newspaper as a weed block on top of it. And then I've just mulched over it with soil, homemade compost, and my own wood chippings from prunings and that in the garden. I've on top of the mulch, I've put maybe, I suppose, about 8 inches of organic material. And that is going to, I say through crossed fingers, that is going to suffocate and smother, if you like, the anemone beneath, I hope. And you could do the same. You see, the reason I'm hesitating here is because that's not always practical. It depends where the wild garlic is. If it's a wide open area and you can do that, like the situation I'm talking about, that's fine. But if it's kind of coming up through plants and everything, then it's going to be more awkward, I'm afraid. But if it's a wide open area, put down some organic weed block, like cardboard or a shop-bought one, about 8 inches of, it's the no-dig method of vegetable gardening, if you like, just transferring it over to here, just suffocate it.
Yeah, that could work. That certainly could work. Hi, Peter. Could you tell me what's possibly going on with my lawn? There's big patches of the grass turning brown and it's died and the crows are constantly pecking at it. That's from Teresa.
That is most likely leather jackets under the soil, the daddy long legs, if you like. So they're laying their eggs. The grubs for the daddy long legs are called the leather jackets. Now it's early in the year to see birds pecking at them, but that brown patches in the soil means there is activity underneath there, that they've burrowed there, they're laying their eggs, and that the crows now, and later throughout the summer, the crows will be going for it.
So what can you do?
That's the problem. What's the solution? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the solution is less easy, I'm afraid. You can get nematodes. There is a nematode you can get. Now, a nematode is just a parasitic insect, Trish, that'll feed on the grub of the leather jacket. For the life of me, I can't remember the name of the specific nematode that will treat leather jacket, but a quick search online and you will find one. And that's the biological way and the totally environmentally sound way and very effective way of dealing with it.
And that will work. Margaret in Castlemarle, could you ask Peter, how much copper sulfite should I add to the water to spray on hydrangeas and other shrubs?
If you're spraying copper sulfate as a fungal prevention, which I imagine is what she's talking about, it does depend on where you get it. So if you get it from a kind of an agricultural co-op store or something, it'll be sold in one form, like as Bluestone. Whereas if you buy it in a garden centre, it'll be called copper mixture. So the rates will vary. If you buy it in the garden centre, it's like a white powder. And I think from memory, and I'm pretty sure I'm accurate, it's 35 grams to 1.5 litres of water. If you're buying it from like a co-op or an agri supplies, I would check with them to get an exact answer. And that's if you're using copper sulfate. However, when she says she's treating the hydrangea with it, I wonder, is she talking about aluminium sulfates, which you'd use to change the colour of a hydrangea?
But we'll
stick with copper sulfate just for this question.
She says, and other shrubs.
Yeah, so it's probably a general fungal prevention. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Anne says, I can nearly tell the answer to this one. Hi, Peter. I've just found two lots of knotweed growing in my garden. Is there anything I can do to get rid of it myself?
No, is the textbook answer.
Yeah.
You should really get on to one of the specialist companies. There's two, I don't know if there's many more. There's certainly two in Ireland. I think one is Japanese Knotweed Ireland and the Japanese Knotweed Company or something like that. But whoever you're going to get to deal with it, just make sure that they are registered and licensed to protect yourself here is what I'm talking about, because there are legal implications to having it on your property, particularly if it spreads from your property or if you ever went to sell the property. So you do need to be covered, and don't let anybody cut it back for you and remove the trimmings or dig it out and say, I'll dump that in the landfill. That's all completely illegal. So I don't mean to be alarmist or anything like that, but the correct thing to do is to get onto a registered contractor.
Because it's the disposing of it is the problem, isn't it?
Well, you're not allowed.
Yeah.
You can't move it from your site. You're not allowed to move. And whatever anybody tells you, just to protect yourself, you're not allowed to take it off your site.
Okay. Hi, Peter. I planted a flowering cherry tree a few months ago and the leaves at the top are withering. Would it be wind or did I not water it enough?
It's both. It's the same answer, if you like. So if it's just planted a few months, it's still more or less new, if you like. So you still need to treat it like it's in a pot, because the root system won't have got into the surrounding soil yet to get its own water. So it is wind that's drying it out. And obviously the way you counteract that is by giving it more water. So it's both are causing the problem. Just give it more water. You can't really overwater it at the moment. Obviously, nature has been doing it a bit during the last week, but even now, again, the soil is quite dry. So do keep watering it, and it will be fine, I imagine.
Okay, and some people have sent on pictures, which I can't send on to Peter at the moment because he's actually on the phone that we will be sending the pictures on to. So I'm going to have to send those on for next week, and we'll hopefully get answers to them then next week instead. Okay, an email in from Martin. The potatoes I planted last year didn't grow, but they're growing now. Would they be okay to eat?
It's an interesting one. I'm presuming from the sound of the question that he planted them at the right normal time of the year, like, you know, late spring or, well, late winter, early spring. And if they didn't grow last year and they're growing this year, it is a strange one. I've never heard of that before, unless you planted them, let's say, in the autumn. But I don't see why they wouldn't be. No, absolutely. As soon as they begin to come into flower bud, lift them and they should be fine. There'd be no reason they wouldn't be fine to eat.
Yeah. And then someone else wants to know, would you ask Peter his opinion on the council appear to be not cutting the grass as much this year? One listener says she's heard it's to do with rewilding. Is that a good move?
Absolutely, it's a good move. It's not just a good move, it's an essential move. Now, I'm not sure on saying that is the reason the local authorities are reducing the cutting back. I hope it is. It may well be. It's an absolutely essential move, because we need to maintain species. We need to reduce the risk of species extinction. And one way we can all do that is to leave wildflowers go. And if you look, I was only driving home the other day and I passed what up to now would have been a well-maintained green area, and it hasn't been cut now for a few weeks, and it's like a sea of gold. It's just beautiful with buttercups. But we need to think differently. We need to stop seeing them as a weed and look at the beauty that they're, that, you know, look at it as a, the daisies and the buttercups. I just think it's picture postcard gorgeous. Obviously, when it comes to say health and safety, that's paramount over everything. That supersedes everything. So I mean, cutting back on blind corners and things like that will need to continue, obviously. But in areas where safety isn't an issue, and where public amenity isn't an issue, what I mean by that, Trish, is, you know, obviously you need to maintain areas for children to play and kids out there, and for people to walk. But where those aren't an issue, I think it's absolutely brilliant that they're not cutting it.
Yeah, okay. And I love these kind of stories. Emma was on to us to say that her grandfather passed away a couple of years ago, and his house has now been sold. Emma is going to be spending the weekend at her grandfather's house, and he was a great lover of daffodils. She wants to dig up some of the daffodil bulbs out of the garden before the house is finally handed over. Could you give advice on how she stores them and what she will do with the daffodil bulbs?
Well, Emmy, I think your grandfather will guide you on this one. Don't worry. I lift them out of the ground when the foliage has died back, which is around now. So the foliage and the stems, once they go brown and have died back, even if they're not, and you have to take them out because obviously it's selling. So even if they're still green, it's not the end of the world. So remove all the foliage, and when you have them out of the ground, just wrap the bulbs even in a bit of newspaper or a dry brown paper bag, something like that. Store them. It's very, very easy. Store them somewhere cool and dry, like a garden shed, something like that. Doesn't want to get warm or damp, and plant them out then again come the autumn, September, October on, and I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, and then her other sister is taking one of her granddad's roses. By the way, she says, we do have the permission of the new owners. They're not going to attack in the garden. What advice would you have for the sister on the moving of the rose? It's a very old rose. She reckons it's been in the garden over 30 years. Would it be there that long?
Oh, good easy. And more, yeah. I would suggest on this one, I know this depends on the permission, how much permission you get from the new owners.
Yeah.
If they'd let it there and let you do it at the right time, you could do it now, but there's a huge risk of losing it. It's more probable that you would lose it by lifting it out of the ground now, because it's the wrong time of the year. If the new owners are amenable and if they give you permission, the best time to do that, to lift that, would be December, January. And then it should move quite successfully. But moving it now, it will be less likely. However, if you have to move it now, and if you can't leave it till December, January, just get as much of it's a taproot system with the roads, get as much of that root out of the ground as you can. Really cut it back hard over the ground. Don't be scared of cutting it back too hard. That won't be a problem. If it's going to survive, it'll regenerate quickly. You see, all the growth that's over the ground is going to lose water through transpiration. So you want to reduce it losing water, because it's not getting as much water because you've damaged the root system, if you're still with me. So get as much of the root out as possible, remove as much over the ground as possible, and get it into somewhere and keep it very well watered over the next few months. But ideally, leave it till December, January.
Yeah, talk to the new owners. Okay, and somebody says, could you find out from Peter, what day is he in the garden centre? What day is he at the garden festival? I've enjoyed his seminars in previous years. What days are you
brilliant.
Doing?
Brilliant. I'm there on Friday and I'm there on Saturday. I won't be there this year on Sunday, unfortunately. I'll be there on Friday and Saturday, and I'm not 100%. I should have checked this before I came on air. I'm not 100% certain of the time, but I think it's around 1 or 2 o'clock in the seminar hall in Mallow.
Okay. Well, listen, enjoy, because I know you enjoy it. It's an event you really enjoy.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Love it, yeah.
Okay, pleasure as always. Thanks for that, Peter. We'll talk again next Wednesday.
Thanks, Trish.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
A million. That is Peter Dowdle at theirishgardener.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.